Welcome back to all of our listeners, and man, it feels good to be back. I know Kat is currently under the weather, and I did not hydrate after a workout, and I was not able to move majority of the past week, so it has been just, I'm just very grateful to be here in this space with Kathleen, my loving wife, and having conversations about our favorite pastime, which is America's favorite pastime, which is what we are here to discuss to you all about today, baseball.
Hey, Amanda Hips.
So Kat, first 2 weeks, fantasy baseball, just jumping straight into it. How would you describe your team with a meme? Like, if you had to use a meme, how are you describing it right now?
My dynasty baseball team, if I were to depict in a meme, would be the Homer Simpson meme of him just hiding in the bush, because I'm starting the season 0-2 and not very happy about it because I have really great players this year. But we're going to come back this week. The guy I'm playing against, shout out Billy, we are both 0-2. So one of us is going to win. Yeah. What about yourself? What meme would you describe your team?
I think if I have to go with the meme to describe my team, I'm feeling like something from, I don't know, I gotta say Wakanda, because we on top right now. I know we won it what, but we're leading the league in points. We had a tough battle against the high scoring team last week, but I just think we're on top. For our listeners on the Patreon page, I'm a throw a meme out there for you all to just highlight how I'm feeling right now. Some of you all, some of our listeners are in the league, and just a sorry in advance, but I'm not looking forward to, I'm looking forward to hurting your feelings.
Yeah, I woke up one morning this week and told Donald that I was 10th at place. And he tried to console me by telling me that it wasn't that bad. But, you know, I saw where he was at the number one spot. So must be nice.
And to be honest, I wonder, was that April Fool's the same day you tried to tell me that Juan Soto was injured? But I don't want to spill the relationship tea on the podcast. But listeners, this is the news that my wife likes to tell me to kind of break my heart.
All right. Well, we did have a lot of good baseball, so we're going to start us off with our hit of the week. It's time for hit of the week, the one swing that made us jump out of our seats, drop our snacks, and question the law of physics. Whether it was a moonshot, a clutch liner, or just pure hitting artistry, we've got it covered. Let's break it down. I'm going to start this time because we had Jose Ramirez hit 3 home runs last Saturday to get that win for the Guardians. I think it was from, the score was 8-6. And man, he's just worthy for all the contract money he receives. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I like Jose Ramirez. I think I'm in a paid fantasy league and like one of those random leagues on Fantrax. And I ended up going, that was my first pick. I think I had 6 pick with Jose Ramirez. Kind of started the season off slow. So those 3 home runs really put a smile on my face and bumped me up in the Roto League rankings. But when I think about favorite hits of the week, it's not the most glamorous hit, right? But that's This is what this segment's about. I really like my guy, Dylan Cruz. I think he had a hit yesterday against the Dodgers. It came against, I don't even remember the pitcher of record because the Dodgers lost yesterday, but it came where it was a
we could throw that in.
Yeah, sorry, they lost yesterday, but it was an off-speed pitch, and I think Dylan Cruz got on top of it and drove it right up the middle. Can't remember if it was an RBI, but for a young kid starting out in his professional career and having people on the Reddit thread say, oh, should I drop him? Is it too early to drop Dylan Cruz? As the announcer said yesterday on the game, you know, he'll be back at 250 in no time. And I think as the weather warms up, we're going to see some great entertainment from one of our top prospects. So I'm excited about that. But, you know, we've been gone for a while, Kat. And I know our listeners have been reaching out to us, trying to get in touch with us, doing polls on the Patreon page. But one of the things that I enjoy, listeners, about this podcast is recording it with my wife. And she's not the only person that also has been recorded on the podcast. Our daughter, Marigold, is also featured and introducing some of our segments. And you had an interesting trip with Marigold because of the podcast. So would love to hear about your travels with Marigold because of the podcast so far and where that's taken.
Yeah. So on March 31st, Marigold and I were gifted a Dodger Stadium tour by our awesome Ballpark Chasers community member, Ryan Liebarger. And it was so fun because it was right before the Dodgers and Braves series were about to start. So before the game, it was early enough that nobody was there. And fun fact, if you do a stadium tour before the game, you can park there for free. And if you have game tickets, you just scored on free parking. The gift store is empty, so all these, the new cherry blossom Dodger jerseys, they're, it was just such a fun way of taking a, you know, mommy-daughter date. And I kept telling Marigold that this is a story time because there were three tour guides telling us stories about Dodger Stadium. And also, if you love taking photos, there's a photographer that takes photos of the guests. And there's so many photo ops throughout, you know, the field, the stadium. And we actually did this tour with your T-ball team years ago. So it was nice to experience it with Marigold. And now since, you know, the Dodger has a more international crowd, they do tours in English, Spanish, and Japanese. And it's all pretty accessible, even those who need 80, you know, compliant vehicles. Although I will say the elevator was very busy because they were setting up for the game. So we ended up having to walk a lot more, they said. They did say because the Dodger Stadium just changed their field, they weren't going to allow anybody to step on the grass for opening week, but maybe later on in tours. But anyways, it was so fun. I think Marigold had such a fun time looking at old artifacts, especially stadium seats. I think she was just so giddy about seeing the different seats. And it's funny because we've done lower field, we've done upper field, or, you know, the upper lodge. So Marigold has seen a range of different seating arrangements in the Dodger Stadium. So she just wanted to sit in all of them and they were empty. Yeah. So it just seemed like a fun game.
That's dope to hear about the language inclusion on the tours, right? Because yesterday was Japanese Heritage Day. And so, you know, that was nice. And the international support that we show here for the love of the game is amazing. But, you know, take a tour during game day. Gotta check that off. I mean, yeah. I'd love to take a tour during game day. Maybe we can get lost and visit the Nats locker room when they come visit the Dodgers. I'm sure we can have Marigold absent-mindedly just walk into the visitors' locker room and, you know, let us meet the players.
Yeah, actually, there was a couple from Taiwan there. And fun fact, the first Taiwanese-born player played for the Dodgers years ago. But there was so many moments that I was like, as a baseball fan, I had no idea. And I was telling Donald, like, which, like, the tour guide had asked which MLB teams had the most championships. And in my head, I was just like, of course, it was like the Yankees, right? But no, it was so interesting to me. And And really going off the emphasis of the rivalry between the Giants and the Dodgers and how that all started, there were just so many things in this tour that I had to go back to tell Donald. Like, there's just so much. One story I will share, because I think it's so interesting, and maybe one of our listeners is lucky. There is one. So we're talking about how much catching a ball is and how much they sell for resale value, right? Well, there is one ball, and it's a mystery ball caught by Kauffman's, one of his records at the Dodger Stadium. And till this day, no one has any idea who caught that ball and how much it's worth, if it was sold or someone just kept it for a legacy. And this is because anything Ohtani has, you know, done a home run someone caught has accounted for millions. Doesn't matter if it was a record or non-record. So if this ball, it could be worth millions at this point. But I just thought that was so interesting. We have no idea who has the ball.
Yeah, Kathleen saying we got the livest baseball podcast, so we know our thousands and thousands and thousands of viewers, one of you all has that ball. So definitely some ways to make some funds off that. Thank you. I think I've already kind of mentioned some of it for, you know, just my recap of the news. But the Dodgers lost yesterday to the Nationals, which is really sad. But Finnegan came out for the third straight save, to record the third straight save 3 days in a row. And shout outs to Davey Martinez for letting Finnegan pitch the 8th and the 10th, because I'm not sure without bullpen or blowpen, as somebody mentioned on Reddit, and one of my posts said, I'm not sure if we would have came out with the W, but let's see what the next two games in the series looks like. Any other news for our listeners, Kat?
Yeah, so on Saturday, some MLB reporters put out their power rankings, and I thought it would be nice to see where they rank the teams and our thoughts and if we agree with them. So let's dive into that.
On your march, go.
Yes. So for their power rankings, they have the Dodgers still at number one.
Do you think Dodgers deserve to be at number one, Kat?
Well, on the writing of this, you know, blog on Saturday, they were undefeated. Now they have about three losses. I still think they have momentum, even with, you know, Freddie Freeman on the IL. But I'm biased here. What do you think?
I think even though they have just three losses, I think in their division right now today, which is April 8th for our listeners on the recording of this, the Padres are ahead in the National League West, followed by the Giants, followed by the Dodgers. So it's interesting to see to still see the Dodgers where they are. And then, you know, to be fair, the Nats won recently, so I'm sure that wasn't in the rankings or wasn't in the scope of what they thought was going to happen this week. But what do you think about the rest of the list?
All right, so now we have next teams, the Phillies and then the Yankees. And that, to me, is controversial because I feel like Aaron Judge has been doing some special things with the Yankees that, might I regret saying, are, you know, showing that they might be again out in the World Series again with the Dodgers.
Yeah, I think when you look at the Yankees and Phillies, though, if we are considering records right now and the division, Phillies at the top right now, kind of tied with the Mets. That's a little shaky and iffy. But if you just look at the on-base percentage, the batting average, I believe the Phillies are leading a lot. And I know a lot of the hype has died down from the Yankees with the torpedo bats, but I don't see the Yankees currently power rankings. I like Toronto over the Yankees. I like Red Sox. I like what the Red Sox are doing. So I will put both of those teams who are also, well, Red Sox are ahead of the Yankees or tied, but they're all tied. Blue Jays, Yankees, and Red Sox are tied 6-5, but I will put the Sox and the Blue Jays over the Yankees currently.
I want to go back to Aaron Judge real quick because in the last two games, he has hit 3 home runs, and he is on track to have the most home runs on record with Babe Ruth. And that is, to me, pretty amazing to have as an individual player to the team. Obviously, he doesn't make up the whole team, but, you know, someone really special to highlight for the Yankees.
You know, I like that. And I'm looking up our league leaders right now because Logan Ohapi's also on track to crank out as many dingers, I think, too. It's weird where the home runs are coming from. So I think, yeah, Judge is up top with 6. Tyler Soderstrom for the Athletics has been a monster at the plate. And I think in our league, Bay Dogs, the same team owner, owns Judge and Soderstrom right now. Tommy Edman, surprisingly, at 5. Suarez at 5. And Kyle Tucker at 5. So, I mean, I think Logan Ohap is up there with 5, too. But, you know, it's kind of come down to more than just...
I will say, just even a general look at the power rankings that went out, the two teams that I'm surprised are at top but are doing extremely well are the Giants and the Tigers. And I called it from the beginning. The Tigers are going to be a sneaky one.
And what's wild is on these power ranking lists, the Tigers are listed 13. And, you know, Padres at 4, that's understandable. But the Tigers are that they have that spirit. They have that passion, that grit. You know, I think the run that they made for the second half of the season last year was phenomenal. So looking more to seeing what those studs can do. And Tarik Skubal started off the season 0-2. So to see him just magnify and blow up has been even best.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I sneaked that Kerry Carpenter into my team, and he has been giving me so many fantasy baseball points. And then, you know, even it's funny, the league where, the Dodgers, the Padres,
the National League West.
Yes. They're starting to become really competitive. So as those, you know, teams square away, I'm really interested to seeing how they do. And something that happened in the tour that I didn't realize, like I was telling you, the St. Louis Cardinals having that many national championships, and they're starting to make a name for themselves even now.
Yeah, that division is going to be hard with the NL Central, because right now it feels like, the Cubs are going to run away with the NL Central. And then the wild card is really going to be a toss-up with the teams that don't make first place in the West. So that mixture of the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Giants. And, you know, NL East, we still have some work to do, but it's going to be a fight, I think, for the Mets and Phillies to really regain that. So these are all good stuff. Thank you for bringing up the power rankings, because I think about why you value certain players as someone who's won the fantasy championship in our, I'm not sure, was that Dynasty League or was that before we did Dynasty?
No, it was Dynasty.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, what are some of the factors of why you choose the players that you choose for your team?
So I do this with every fantasy league I'm in. I really am a data-driven person, so I look at what gives the most points. And for leagues like ours, I look for play, and this is probably going to give my secret away, for, you know, positional players, I'm looking to see who gets the third base every time. I don't care. They steal a base, they get on base. As long as you're getting to third base, you're giving me points somehow consistently.
Yeah, so you like those triples. I mean, it's interesting because we changed when we went to Dynasty, where in our league, if you hit a triple, it's 3 points. But prior to us moving our league to the Dynasty format, when we would do the redraft league, it was points per base. So if you get a hit, it's 1 point. But if you get to third base, it's still 2 points because you are counting total bases. And I know you shared part of your secret with me, is that, you know, you value age as well.
Especially, oh, yeah.
We have those contracts in Dynasty. But mm-hmm. Are there any other things that really stand out to you when choosing players?
I like seeing holistically, like, where they are in the lineup, like, where they bat when it comes to pitchers, like, how often they're going to be in the rotation. This is a very, I make no secret in my Dynasty baseball team is if any player is above 35 years old, I'm not going to accept it. Because I want someone for years, but I also want people that are going to dynamically make a difference in the team. So someone that's constantly going to be on the rotation, not going to, you know, when it comes to like these young pitchers, yeah, they're not going to maybe have every quality game, but they're going to play and they're going to play where it makes it work. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that youth is vital because the injuries, you know, and mm-hmm. the way we have our settings and not being able to really stream players because of those contracts, then the importance of contracts is really challenging. I think mm-hmm. I like your approach, and I know this is part of the request for our podcast is to be a little bit educational on some mm-hmm. of the things that we talk about. So I'm going to try to break down things and how I approach these things. I know I've always preferred the points league, right? Mm-hmm. You find out what is worth X amount of points, and then you base your own team around this person's going to get me this amount of points, this person's going to get me this amount of points. But in the past, I've worked with other leagues where it's category driven. So who has the most home runs that week versus the most runs versus stolen bases. And that was a challenging because it was a different dynamic. Instead of running the numbers up, you had to really look at the stats of the players on your team and how mm-hmm. they would perform for that week and do that on a head-to-head basis. And so understanding that the key to that league is looking at your opponent's roster that week. And so it was really challenging, I think, for that. But I even made things even difficult for myself. I joined a Roto League 5x5 and having to explore, okay, what are the 5 offensive categories? Batting average, stolen bases, runs, home runs. And all of those things are going to be important for stat calculations, but we can definitely dive, I think, a little bit more into this in another episode, but I do want to talk about three stats that help me decide who I choose for all of these mm-hmm. Particular leagues. And those stats, first stat would be WAR, WAR, which is the wins over replacement player. Now, it's not a newfound stat, but since it's been calculated, you know, I'm going to bring up some of the WAR leaders right now in the MLB. I think for WAR leaders currently, we have, look, this is super current. Let me give you the ESPN rundown of our offensive WAR leaders for 2025. I'll put it in the chat just because I really want to, you know, just inform a little bit more on WAR, but it means wins over replacement. And so I was asking Kat, I was like, Kat, do you know what a replacement player is? So Kat, can you break down to our listeners what a replacement player is?
Yeah, so the easiest way to explain it is a replacement player is, you know, not average. They're kind of below average, but they're compared to the basic replacement level guy. So think of them like the 26th man on a roster or someone you could call up from AAA when you need a replacement player due to injury or whatever to cover that person. So they are expected to perform poorly over full season, but they're still better than not having anyone at all.
Yeah. And typically, anytime you have a number over six, that means they're like a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just rattle off. These are the all-time war leaders. We have Babe Ruth at 182.6. Walter Johnson, 167.8. Cy Young, 163.6. And so Hank Aaron or Henry Aaron is 143.2. And so when you take these players out and get that average player, as Kat was saying, to replace them, these are the amount of wins. And so just that standard deviation from the norm is amazing. So that's one of the stats that I look into. Like, I think I'd love if you could pull up what Aaron Judge's current WAR is. But that's definitely one of the stats that has been I've been favoring. And the other stat is OPS, which is on base plus slugging. And the way that you would calculate that is the OBP, which is your on-base percentage, plus your slugging percentage. And you can get your OBP by taking the number of times the batter reaches a base, and that includes hits, walks, and being hit by a pitch. And that's going to be divided by the total number of plate appearances, including all those at-bats, walks, hit by pitches, and sacrifice flies. And so that's nice way to kind of categorize just how often someone gets on base. But the slugging portion goes back to what we were talking about with our fantasy league thing. So it's settings. So it's total amount of bases over the number of appearances at bat. So if you have a single, that's 1 point. If you get a double, that's 2 points. If you get a triple, that's three. If you hit a home run, that's four. So if you have a batter who essentially gets a home run at their first appearance at bat, that's 4/1. That's a four in the slugging. And so you'd add that plus that on base percentage and you get OPS. So, you know, long story short, a lot of acronyms. Happy to chat more about this and explain more about this in our kind of social content post. But those are really the stats that I value. And then pitchers, wins, and strikeouts, just straight up.
So
wins and strikeouts.
I got an example for you. And we're talking about Aaron Judge, right? He has 11.5 WAR, which means that if you replaced him with a random player in the farm, the Yankees would have lost last season entirely. And what it says is that his value is worth so much that the Yankees would win about 11 fewer games without Judge, because that's just the value of who he is as a player.
Yeah, and those are just numbers too, but because, you know, you could even argue it's more than 11. You take away those home runs that Judge hit. So, you know, definitely something to look into. We're happy to take this journey with you as we think of ways to kind of break down our thought patterns around baseball. But with all of that said, we do need to take a break for a sip of water and a word from our sponsors.
Heal at the hip.
Dads don't just drive you to Little League. They teach you how to throw a perfect curve, grill the best post-game glizzies, and still make time to look good doing it. At Dads Are Cool, too, they know being a dad just isn't a title. It's a lifestyle. That's why they got the dopest hats and tees that celebrate the coolest dad dads out there. Whether you're coaching from the dugout, catching a game with your kid, or just repping dad life and style, Dact's got you covered. So step up to the plate, show off your dad pride, and grab your game day gear at Dads Are Cool Too. Because being a parent is hard work and legendary. We know moms are cool. Guess what, though? Dads are cool, too. Visit dadsarecool2.com using the promo code MR_HIP for 15% off today.
Heal at the hip.
And Just like that, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. It is such an honor to be here with you all. We are at the end of our episode, but you know we can't say goodbye without doing our rapid fire questions. I think Kathleen is going to let me go first this time since she has been stumping me. So we are excited about this. Let me get my timer set up. Kat, are you ready?
I'm ready.
What are two baseball teams that don't end in with the letter S?
Wow. Let's see. We have, Padres, Cardinals. I gotta say them out loud. Cubs. Wow, this one's hard. I can't even believe it. Orioles. Man, that's a hard one. I can't believe you got me back. Rangers, the Astros.
Any answer works.
I'm going down the list right now in my head. The Tigers, every team has a damn S. I don't know. All right, I'm going to have to
score. And that is 60 seconds.
What were they? I have to know. What were they?
Red Sox or White Sox?
They end with the S.
They end in X.
Oh, my God. That was a good one. Oh, he really stumped me on that.
That one felt good. That one felt good.
Okay.
That one felt good.
Well.
That one felt too good. I'm sorry.
I know. I need to take a little breather on that one because he stumped me on that one. Gosh. Okay. All right, love. Here, you got a minute. This one, I'm going to have to get you back on this one.
No. Just give me something that's nice. We did trivia the other day, and she was like, oh, did you know this? And I was like, yeah, it was this. And she was like, oh, you do know. And I was like, yeah, just not when I'm not in the mindset. But all right, cool. 60 seconds ready on your go.
Name the major cities where baseball teams are located.
Name how many?
As many.
Los Angeles. You said major cities?
Mm-hmm.
Los Angeles, New York, Baltimore, Philadelphia, yeah, Boston.
Just keep going.
New York City again.
Keep going. As much as you can list.
Major cities. I mean, I don't want to disrespect certain places by not saying. Was like the, I don't consider it a major city. Detroit. I mean, Chicago. Houston, Dallas, or Fort Worth, wherever they are, that's not a major city. See, again, that's disrespectful to people that live outside.
Okay, then name as many mascots as you can.
Mascots? Mm-hmm. Padres, the little Friar,
mm-hmm.
The Presidents, the Nationals, and that's 60 seconds. Yeah.
I can't stump you on that one. But before we go, I want to give a quick moment of appreciation for our general managers, Greg, Donnell, and Tim. You guys are topping the charts with just listening and engaging. You're the real ones keeping this podcast alive and thriving. Seriously, thank you.
And when we say alive, we mean alive. Also, special shout outs to the Octavia Lab here at the Los Angeles Public Library. Appreciate you all for having us and providing this space free of use. See you all next week.